from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Guys, this weekend ain't about frickin' stocks and bonds. It's about football. It's about getting your ass up off of your lazy ass, yelling for your team, and saying, let's go, Bulls! Damn it!
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
And for the love of God, people, quit doing the frickin' wave. Are you kidding me? The wave? Jesus. Nobody does the wave anymore. Yeah, the Billy Bobs do it in NASCAR at the racetrack because there's nothing else to do there except meow, 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 and watch the damn cars go in circles and wait for a wreck.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Damn it, son. Do y'all hear me?
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and, of course, YouTube. Good morning, YouTube. Busy show. A lot in the first hour. I'm sitting on a Jonathan Smith Island. Hello?
You are all by yourself, buddy.
I'm all by myself. No raft. Nobody's even searching for me. They've given up.
I'm in a sailboat just off your shore.
He's got his dock. He's got his anchor down.
I'll just be happy if he has some success at Michigan State, is all my point is. I'm not turning the game on. I'm not a Spartan now.
Yeah.
That dude helped them a lot. They would not be in the FPI position they are going into this year. And I know you can say, well, he did a lot against them. Before he got there, they had one win. So
yeah,
I will argue against that argument.
Gary Anderson was before that. Let's remember
that. We were
Hall
in. Remember that?
Everybody was Hall in.
I still don't think
the Civil War like 70 to 7. What was the score of that Hall in
that
Civil
game
War?
At halftime? It was like 42
to
nothing.
That was the Willie Taggart Oregon Ducks. Yeah, that just was laid
there's,
the pipe.
There's yeah. still not enough appreciation for how bare the cupboard was when he got there.
No,
there is not.
No.
A lot in the second hour. We open the old breakfast menu here.
Ooh.
I had a delightful little turkey, bacon, egg, and toast this morning.
Look at you. I just had some peanut butter toast on sourdough.
I love some good peanut butter
just
toast.
Good peanut butter.
Just straight black coffee
it
for me.
It just gets it done. Yeah, you don't eat in the morning. It's really weird.
Why
I got
he
to
goes
eat
to the bathroom well, 9 times.
I have to eat something. Like, I don't eat a big breakfast. I have to have something in my system.
Well, especially when there's a Hops homestand, because I can't eat while I'm in the booth because I never know when I have to flip them.
Late. That's
so
what
you
it
eat
is.
Late
and so I eat when I get home at like 10 o'clock.
Gotcha. Open up the old menu. We got our staples here, of course, the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them at VancouverFord.com. Statter story for the final time at 8:15.
Yes.
An orgy-style statter story. We're all in.
Let's go. Let's all get involved.
Josh Pate coming up at 7:40, so it's going to be a weird second hour clock, as it always is.
Yes, follow accordingly.
And we will get to an ESPN FPI that caught my eye. I love a good football power index. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the program as well. Some NFL cuts were made yesterday, some surprising names on that list.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. But we will start the second hour not being blacked out, unlike the Oregon, Washington, and UCLA, USC games.
Are we on YouTube this morning? Are we blacked out on YouTube?
I don't know.
Okay, our show didn't get blacked out.
People
in Oregon can watch us right now. Is that what you're telling
me? It says we are live and we're recording. So
Comcast
there you go.
Xfinity is reportedly blacking out live events on the Big Ten Network for customers in Oregon and Washington in a classic Pac-12 type of dispute with DirecTV. The Big Ten Network and Comcast have now come to this conclusion. They released a statement yesterday saying, quote, "We're sensitive to the impact these costs have on our customers and have been in discussions with Fox in the Big Ten Network to find a solution to make certain former Pac-12 games available to the people who want them while not forcing others to pay for content they don't want to watch. We hope to be able to reach a fair agreement with Fox and the Big Ten Network to be able to offer these games to our customers." End quote. And as many Beaver and Cougar fans noted yesterday, ha, 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 ha. Left for TV exposure, and you're not going to be on TV this weekend.
It is. Look, first off, round of applause to Oregon State and Washington State. Twitter yesterday, phenomenal content.
Oh, just they phenomenal dunked content. All over it. It was great.
Hilarious. You've been waiting. You've been taking punches for a year, and you that's just like the blue balls built up and then exploded yesterday. And it was hilarious. I was reading and scrolling through all of it and just laughing my absolute ass off. Point number two.
Yes.
I love that Comcast in their statement says, we don't want to make people pay for content that they don't want to watch when that's like their entire business model of making people pay for content that they don't want to watch. So I found that quite ironic.
Yeah.
I chuckled at this because I don't know about you guys as TV viewers. This is an incredibly selfish thing to say. I don't really care about anybody else. Like, this doesn't affect me. I have YouTube TV and I have Peacock. I'm going to be able to watch every game.
Same.
Sucks to people who can't watch it. If you were looking for another reason to bail from cable in general, maybe this was the final nail in the coffin for you.
This could be the final nail in the coffin for me, because I've held on because it is still the ones, like, YouTube and Fubo and all of those things. There's not complete. The only thing that had everything in one place, one service, sports-wise, was still Xfinity Comcast. And if they can't get this figured out, that very well could be the
I tend to think that there's going to be some sort of an agreement reached at some point.
There better be something.
No, we heard that for years at the Pac-12 and DirecTV. They sent these statements out on a routine basis. Where's their breaking news? Here it is. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm late to hit the sounder.
Yeah.
You have vowed on this show to almost never do anything and cut your cable.
Swigard, look, they don't even pay me to say this. If there's a company that I could endorse right now, if Mr. YouTube TV himself is listening, which he's a big P1 of the show, I'm sure.
The OG, right?
I would love an endorsement with your... The second I made the switch, the only thing I have thought about every day since is, why didn't I do this sooner?
Well, I told you 6 years ago, and you were like, oh, no, man, cut the cable.
Well, no, honestly, connection. No. Part of the problem was that when I was a Comcast guy, YouTube TV did not have the Pac-12 network, and it did not have Root Sports. And so I would not be able to watch Duck games, Beaver games, and Blazer games.
It still doesn't have those channels.
It still doesn't, but I don't need those channels anymore because my team's not in the Pac-12 anymore.
And Root Sports is gone.
And Root Sports no longer exists, and it will flush down the toilet in the next 3 years. Well, I don't need those channels. Like, that was a big part of the reason that I waited, honestly. I was glad that I kept Comcast all the way through the Pac-12 baseball tournament because I get into it at the end of the year. You watch a little bit. That stuff's on the Pac-12 network. That was the last month that I had it. And then that all shut down, and I thought, here's the perfect time to switch. I no longer need those channels.
I'm largely with you in the, if I have it, I'm not bothered by it. But I want to be fair here. We ridiculed the idea of what the media deal would have been from the Pac-12 on Apple. Now, I still think some of these arguments are like very bad faith, not in any way related arguments. Like, this game did really well on streaming. Oh, funny. I was told nobody watched streaming. Yeah. It's like, well, but nobody's watching Stanford, Oregon State on the stream.
Chiefs, Dolphins playoffs is a little bit different than Oregon versus Cal at 7:30 at night on
thank
Apple
you.
TV.
Those arguments are not apples to apples. And I always kind of chuckle at them.
It would have been a disaster.
However, part of the argument was eyeball availability. And you're right on the YouTube TV. Like, it is a seamless transition. I had a listener DM me on Instagram, and I'm like, he was debating Hulu or YouTube, and I've done both of them. Mm-hmm. I have experience here. I'm a little bit of a streaming slut. And I'm like, YouTube is the most seamless transition from cable to a stream. It looks like cable, it acts like cable, and it's a little bit better. And so they signed up. We'll see how they feel about it. But what we said during those negotiations was, not good for your sport to have eyeballs. You're not wrong. You have YouTube TV. A lot of people don't. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have Comcast. And yesterday, they were told, cannot watch their Ducks, cannot watch their Huskies, cannot watch their Trojans, cannot watch their Bruins. And, well, I guess, yeah, if they live up here, they can.
Yeah.
And so I still think it's kind of funny that they left for better eyeball viewership, and they'll still get it on Fox, they'll get it on CBS, they'll get it on the Cock Network.
Mm-hmm.
But now the Big Ten Network is blacked out, and it's just a little funny to me of how all that karma come back around. You went to a network that now doesn't exist in our states.
Well, here's what I would say to that. First off, to me, the move wasn't necessarily about... If you were going to compare the TV deal that was on the table for the Pac-12 to sign and the TV deal that Oregon got, it's not even comparable or close.
Well, from a dollars and cents standpoint,
well,
sure,
yes. Also, an eyeball standpoint, you were going to be a streaming only on Apple TV with the potential to sell games to linear television. That
right.
would have been a disaster for their program because you have to be on television, on Fox, on NBC, on CBS, and Oregon will be on all three of those channels this year. So if you want to compare it to the old Pac-12 TV deal that we're dealing with, it's a new day, different problem. Back in the day, Oregon would play three or four games a year, or however many on the Pac-12 network. Four is probably too many, maybe two or three.
Right.
Conference game, a random conference game. If you had DirecTV, you couldn't watch those games.
Yep.
If you had YouTube TV, you couldn't watch those games. You've just traded out a different problem. It's like when the Blazers went from NBC Sports to Root Sports,
sure.
where it's like, hey, now we're on DirecTV, but now you're on an upper tier of Comcast, so you can't watch it on there. So you're just trading a different problem.
What did you say? This?
I was trying to go Comcast and I got Jim.
Comcast. Yeah. Can we pull that
Yeah. The other thing that you have to remember, too, is I don't know specifically for their 12-game season.
Yeah.
How many games are we guessing that Oregon will play on
probably
the Big
two.
Ten? Probably two.
You probably have a couple garbage games.
Like this idea that you won't be able to watch the Ducks is also like, I mean, you will. Their games that matter will be on television. The Ohio State game's going to be on NBC.
Yeah.
The Oregon State game's on Fox. The Michigan game will be on Fox. The Wisconsin game will be on CBS. Yes.
Yeah.
The game next week is on Peacock,
you
got to have Peacock in order to watch. I have Peacock because I knew I was going to need it in order to watch Oregon Duck football. So this is still unquestionably the right move. And to me, it was never necessarily about more eyeballs or anything like that. It was about having a seat at the table in one of the two power conferences in the country. And I think the discourse about Oregon this offseason has proven the move valid. They have had more conversation about their football program this offseason than they have had ever in the history of that university, and they have had really good years with high expectations. It's not even close.
No, I'm just saying, like, I'm just thinking about what you're saying there, but had the conference stay together, I still think they're getting those conversations.
They're still getting talked about.
The coach is what's making this different.
They're still getting talked about, but not to this level. There's not an inflatable duck in Indianapolis. There's not all this buzz.
There isn't.
How do they fit in the Big Ten? How are they going to fare? Oregon, Ohio State. Like, you're not going to have any of that.
No, it definitely helps.
And you would be on Apple TV all year with nobody outside the West Coast watching your games.
No, I get it. I get it. I just, there is, and you've already acknowledged it, there's a comedic side of this where it's like last year some of it was like nobody can watch Pac-12 Network.
Yeah.
Well, right now nobody has Comcast can watch the Big Ten Network.
So it's ironic because the only people that want to watch these games are the people that can't watch these games.
Right.
So the only people blacked out are Washington, Oregon, and California. The rest of the country that has the Big Ten Network will be able to watch this game. And I don't know why you would want to watch Oregon.
I find it all just so interesting of like where it's at right now, where it was, where we were at a year ago at this exact point of. Wasn't it like right about now when we were talking live on it? We did a whole show. It was like
breaking
news, reporting
not
live
breaking
now
news.
That Oregon's leaving and Washington's leaving and this thing is done. It's going to be a two-team conference.
I mean, your candidates for Big Ten Network games, just for Comcast people that are curious, this weekend's game is on the Big Ten Network. The UCLA game on the 28th has not been announced, although I wouldn't be surprised if that ends up being like an FS1 Pac-12 Big Ten After Dark game where it's like a 7:30 kick, but that does not have a network yet. Your Michigan State game is on Fox. Oregon State game is on Fox. Ohio State game is going to be on NBC. The Purdue game is on Fox. Michigan and Wisconsin will both be on, you know, a network, CBS, NBC, or Fox. And the Washington game will unquestionably be on a linear channel. So your other candidates the rest of the year are, again, UCLA on the 28th, Illinois on October 26th, and Maryland on November 9th.
Important note, friend of the program, Ryan Clark, has texted. He's got good reporting on this at OregonLive.com.
Yeah.
He just texted me, Big Ten Network will not be viewable for fans anywhere outside of the 14 existing Big Ten markets.
Ah.
So, for example, Duck fan living in Houston, Denver, Albuquerque, scratch it off. You can't watch a team.
Ah,
it's
so I didn't
OG,
realize it was that big
OG
of a window.
Big Ten before they added these teams.
That's so stupid, man.
And by the way, even though, you know, we get to, Beaver fan gets a laugh at Duck fan and Husky fan for
rightfully
this given.
So.
we just all need to, this is so stupid that any of this stuff ever happens.
Yes.
You've had long enough. You knew this was coming.
Whose fault is this? I'm assuming Comcast. It depends on.
I mean, they're both laying it at the other. The Big Ten Network is saying every other, you know, carrier. When you go to in market rates versus out of market rates, obviously there's an increase.
So this is jacking up the rates in these markets.
Everybody else has agreed to whatever the Big Ten Network's in market rates are, except for Xfinity.
It's Comcast. So dumb.
If you're looking for another reason to make a move, man. Dirt here for YouTube TV. It is glorious.
Hey, no. You stop. Stop it right now.
I'm the streaming guy, man. Do you know that? I'm the big streaming guy.
I hate
here.
You. I wish we had 2019 tape because I was the only one on show. And you're like, oh, no, man. The internet could cut out at any point.
I think my biggest flip-flops in the history of this show, a lot of flip-flops.
We have a lot of flip-flops.
Have to be hard seltzers. Hard seltzers need to be number
one. Another Sprague idea.
Need to be number one. I drink a lot of those now. And cutting the cord. I was a never cord cutter.
Yeah.
And then I was an idiot.
Anything you're thinking about never doing, ask me first and I'll let you know. And then you can make a
blueprint.
Decision. You can flip flop.
How do we feel about this?
All right. Coming up next, we got Josh Pates. We got to kind of be on a clock here. It's a weird second hour clock. Coming up next, the FBI. The FBI. How much do we believe the FBI? And how excited should we get if they're right? That's next on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, so a couple things to just add and clean up, and then we'll get to our FBI stuff here.
Let me pull my gurgled Comcast.
That was mid-rant.
You like that?
Yeah, and you got...
It's like I had...
Can we pull that swag? I'd love to hear that. That was at the back end of that segment. I don't
know what was going on there.
And you just... You know, you're a pro. When you screw
I just
up,
keep going. I don't stop.
You do that with your throat noise, but you always have... You have a tick where you have to acknowledge it instead of just moving on from it.
I mean, it's a weird sound. I can't not... I know everybody heard it. I can't not acknowledge it.
One of our listeners will say, what does Big Ten Plus get Oregon fans? The Big Ten Network's been advertising it on the channel. I sent a link to this listener, and I went and looked. It's an interesting thing. If you want to spend a couple extra dollars and you're a diehard Duck or Husky or whatever fan, on-demand, full and condensed replays at any time. You get streaming logins, so you could log into like a Fox, 24/7 on-demand content experience. I sent the link. Yeah, you can find it at big10plus.com, I think is the link there.
That's kind of cool. I didn't know they did that.
And then you found out something very quickly on the blackout situation.
Listeners are saying that the Big Ten Network is giving out a code to watch the game online.
Okay.
And so somebody said he thinks the code's like Mighty Ducks 24 or something, and maybe they're doing a specific one for
Smart
each
move.
Team in each market that you can go on, I don't know, big10network.com or whatever the website is, put the code in, find it. But that is a brilliant move on their part to cut through this for fans to be able to watch a game, because again, it's not your entire season, but there's probably going to be two, maybe three games a year on the Big Ten Network, and so you're going to want to watch if you don't cancel Comcast.
How big an FPI fan are you?
Oh, you know I'm in on the FPI.
The Football Power Index, it stirs a lot of conversation. Sometimes it pisses people off. Sometimes you celebrate it, and I'm celebrating. Because yesterday,
I love how we always like these things when they say something good about our
that's
team.
That's what I'm saying.
And when it's not when it's something
they're
good
wrong.
About like another team, like it's dumb. Who cares? Stupid computers. I don't know what they're doing.
According to the ESPN Football Power Index,
oh, what do we got?
Oregon State's going 9-3.
9-3.
Toss-up games.
Yeah,
very
what do we
small
label?
Percentage lean Cal and a small percentage leans Boise State. But other than that, buddy.
Those are the only two that they even labeled as toss-ups?
Yeah, the obvious one that they are going to lose is Oregon.
Sure.
But the toss-up percentage, I think, was slightly above 50 in Cal's favor.
Interesting.
And like 57-ish for Boise State. 9-3, year one.
I mean, you take that run.
I mean, that could be 11-1 if we're being honest here at this point. I mean, those are toss-ups, so.
It could go either way.
Once we beat Washington State,
yes.
We win the Pac-2 championship.
You do.
College football playoff, hello.
Are you going to get a trophy if you win that game? How does that work?
We should make one.
There should be a trophy
It should
involved.
Be a beaver and an apple.
Yeah.
Battling it. I know Danny and Dusty are doing a trophy bracketology of sorts, but.
Oh, it should be a beaver eating a big giant block of Cougar gold cheese is what it should be.
But what if it's the Cougars winning
yeah,
the game?
Yeah, what if the Cougar wins and the cheese is losing
a
in that
Cougar
trophy?
Massacring a beaver?
You know,
like ripping his head off.
Mike Leach would be fun to bring yes. on if he was still alive to
R.I.P.
say, like, how would that fight go? He'd probably pick the Cougar in a no-brainer. But
have to, I mean.
What if the beaver drags the Cougar down to the water?
Or chops down a tree on top of the, leans him in.
Sneaks away.
I'm biting the side of the tree. Here it comes. Timber! Down goes the Cougar.
Now the tuna's eating the lion. You didn't think of that one, did you, you jackass?
We've developed a breathing apparatus and we're hunting you on land.
No, I do love the Power Index when it makes the fan base feel good. And I went through this and I was like, win, 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 loss, win, 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 loss, win. 9-3. Yes.
I mean, I think the only other two that I would circle, again, I don't know much about Nevada this year. They nearly beat SMU this weekend. Is that because SMU sucks? Was that a weird game one? Nevada's supposed to be terrible, but they did make a good coaching hire. I think the other two that I would circle that I'm just curious at what percentage they would label it as is San Diego State and Purdue.
Purdue was we eked out, and I think
like slightly up like 52-48, yeah. Or are we going 60-40? What's an eke out there?
Yeah, give me a second.
Because to me, I would label those, if I'm on the outside looking in, as toss-ups for Oregon State this year, that if they win, different kind of season.
Okay, so the San Diego State one is a 65.1% chance, according to the FPI.
So that's not a toss-up. That's a pretty convincing. They think you're going to win.
I don't know enough about them yet. Purdue is at 70% win percentage.
Ooh, buddy. Does Purdue suck? Is that what we're learning today?
I think Purdue's bad.
Well, we play Purdue, too, so I hope Purdue sucks.
We have a 75% chance over against that Nevada team you mentioned. And, yeah, 56.8 against Cal, that Cal wins.
Yeah.
And the Boise State game is 51.2,
ooh.
Better percentage chance to beat Boise State, according to that, and a 66% chance to beat Washington State.
In the Pac-2 championship.
But that was also the same percentage last year, and they got their asses handed to them in Pullman.
That
so.
They did. My team had a chance to beat the Huskies last year, and that didn't work out for us.
It is a weird hour 2 o'clock for us on a Wednesday, because it's a Josh Pate Wednesday, so we're going to very quickly go to Swag for a sports update. Come back, Josh Pate, 740, Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com.
No, the time's not wrong. We're going to get to the ticker here in a moment with Josh Pate coming up in about 10 minutes. So an abbreviated segment. I did want to get to a couple of NFL notes because it was a sad day in the AFC yesterday. Many teams mourned. Everybody's trying to dethrone the Kansas City Chiefs this year. They've won back-to-back Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And the inside plant to tank their season is no longer on their team.
Okay.
Kadarius Toney was cut.
He was on the team last year and they won it, so I don't know if he was a plant.
He tried. He tried his hardest. He didn't get it done. It's not an easy thing to do.
God.
But he gave it his run. He gave it his all. A lot of drops, a lot of offsides, a lot of false starts.
Yeah, you almost want to ask yourself, seriously, does he stay on the team if he's not lined up offsides and he's part of one of the coolest plays in football history?
I think he's still on the team. I think he's still there, but he lined up offsides. He can't do that. He was cut yesterday.
They tried him at running back. He can't catch.
No.
He's a stud athlete. He just, you know, that's what's unfortunate is you see these players that come out of the drafts and you're like, all the intel, amazing athlete, amazing, fast, all that. Can't run a route right or can't catch very well. Terrence Marshall also got cut by the Panthers yesterday. He was drafted in the same class as Chase.
He was.
And some thought he might be at that same level, if not a little better. And the Panthers were like, yeah, you can't do anything. Bye-bye.
Isn't that crazy how bad some of these picks end up being, man?
Well, it's either injuries or they just couldn't make the transition.
Yeah.
It's one of the biggest hang-ups, I think, in sports is trying to figure out why some guys can translate.
And other guys can't.
Yeah. Why was one guy so good in college and then he gets the NFL and he's just not? It's a very weird thing.
This one was an eye-opener through the cuts yesterday. The Commanders, but I love when you say something negative about bad teams, people think they hate your team. Like somebody texted in earlier thinking that I'm a perpetual Raider hater because I say that they suck. It's like, I'm just being honest. I don't hate the Raiders. They suck, and they've sucked for a long time. You had a couple good years there with Carr where they almost won a playoff game. I'm just honest about teams. The Commanders also suck. They drafted seven players in the 2023 draft. That was, you know, last year,
yeah,
seven players, five of them were a part of their 53-man roster cuts yesterday.
Well, they've got a new situation going.
You drafted seven guys, and a year later, there's only two of them left in your organization, man.
It's pretty bad.
Yikes. That's why you suck, Commanders.
Well, and also, I think we were all, like, we all knew this. We all knew we were right. The Cardinals making the decision that Desmond Ridder should not be on the roster. Like, yeah, we watched him start too many games. By the way, Arthur Smith decided to start Desmond Ridder how many games last year? Why did you not go to the Lizard? I would have just rather lost with Heinicke. Like, dude could not throw the football, Desmond Ridder.
He was so bad, and he was in a people made it go viral yesterday. I guess during his time in Atlanta, I think it was, he starred in a DoorDash commercial. Desmond Ridder did. And he was cut yesterday by the Arizona Cardinals, and that commercial went viral again of Desmond Ridder.
This is his new job. It's kind of mean.
You have a fallback option
here, buddy. Cincinnati legend right there, dude. He took the Bearcats to a playoff.
He did. He was a great college quarterback.
He beat Michigan.
He did. He's going to go live and be a king in Cincinnati. He'll probably go be their broadcaster on their radio games and all that.
Well, he'll go be a CFL legend is probably what happens here.
Yes, go find another league. So
the next Vernon Adams.
Hey, there you go. Shout out Vernon Adams.
I'll give you a hot take. Vernon Adams is a better player. He just wasn't tall enough. I would rather have Vernon Adams as my quarterback.
He's still slinging
Ridder.
It for the BC Lions.
Dude, he's legend there. Up there.
He's still going.
Yeah.
I think Jeremiah Masoli had a long Canadian career, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So, there's, you know, you can go land on your feet.
I was a little bummed. Hodgins got cut.
Yeah, that was tough.
And I hadn't really realized what his season was. I knew it wasn't great because 2 years ago he had come on at the back end. He didn't even eclipse his yardage total. He played all 17 games. He didn't eclipse 250 total receiving yards.
Not good.
I'd also make an argument that their quarterback situation was so damn bad that that shouldn't be all his fault.
Yeah, I'm wondering if he lands on somewhere else.
Dude, he's tall. He's lengthy. I think he can catch. Yeah. It fizzled for him.
Wait
in New York.
Till a team has a key receiver injury 3 weeks in.
He'll get a phone call at some point.
He'll get another shot.
John Ross also got cut yesterday, too. Remember that draft pick?
Yeah.
40-time record breaker.
Yeah, bad take exposed, right?
You were a John Ross guy?
I was all in on John Ross. Yes.
I mean, he's fast as hell. I see why people liked him, but it just, to your point, funny how some guys can catch on and others can't. So cuts are going on in the NFL, and there's a few notable ones from yesterday as we still wait on the big trade news potentially happening in San Francisco. Let's get to Josh Pate as we talk some college football with him. He has a new name for his show. We'll get into all that. Preview week one of the season. Josh Pate is next on 1080 The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit with the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Be ready for your next afternoon vacation with Beak Breaker Tropical. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
Hi, Daily Ticker time here on a Wednesday brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Visit pelicanbrewing.com for more details on locations, events, award-winning beers, independently brewed since 1996, Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. Very excited to bring on our next guest. It is Josh Pate, at Josh Pate CFB on Twitter. And I got to be honest, I'm a little discombobulated. There's been a lot of change in the last week. I got new logos. I got a new Twitter handle.
Yep.
I got a new show name.
Yeah.
It's like, this is a lot of change for me for the start of the season.
Yeah, when we started interviewing versus where he is now, like you blow up like this, things have to change.
I'm shocked he still answers when we call, to be honest with you. Josh, what's the last week been like for you? We got all new stuff for you going on over there.
I'm sorry. I mean, I thought I was dealing with professionals here. Are you just going to bury the lead? We've got a new mascot, guys.
Yeah, no, you got a new mascot on top of it too, man.
It's been interesting. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this, but sometimes in the corporate media world, you put forth a request in February, and everyone goes on vacation in the summer.
Yeah.
And so you have to wait until right up against the start of the season for anyone to finally press go on things, and so everything got pushed up to the beginning of the season. So what you've witnessed this week is like a fire hose to the face. What I wanted it to be was a slow trickle, like in a little Japanese garden, and we do one thing a month. But either way, we got here.
Yeah, we're excited for you, man. Congratulations on all the stuff that's been happening. A lot of success your way, and it's deserved. I do want to ask you quickly before we dive into what seems like, from outside of Oregon and Washington, a good college football week one slate. What would we expect? I talked about this earlier. You're going to be doing the CBS stream show, the college football pregame show on Saturday. What are we to expect tuning into that this weekend?
Yeah, so that from my standpoint, nothing changes on my end. I'll be at the same game I would normally choose to go to every weekend. I will participate in that show remotely from that venue. This week it'll be at Florida. Next week, TBD. They've got a lot of different talent there. The feel is, there is still a lot of oxygen in the Saturday morning space, and it's the digital world. It's CBSSportsHQ.com. It's not just linear. And so just try some things out, because I think folks here realize what we have in conjunction with CBS owning 24/7 is you've got the network of team insiders that are on the ground in stadiums morning of game. None of the other networks have that. And so a lot of the late-breaking stuff that it's really hard to pivot on if you don't have eyes and boots on the ground, that's where you can specialize. A lot of folks love betting on this stuff. They want up-to-the-minute information. That's where you can carve out your niche and specialize in that, and not to mention a lot of the other traditional coverage that you get on a Saturday morning pregame show.
Well, I know there's a lot of fans on the West Coast who are not pleased with the hand that ESPN and Fox has had in realignment, and they're looking for options, and they don't want to incorporate with the other pregame show. So it's an awesome opportunity to pick up some audience members out here on the West Coast. You hear the coach speak stuff in week one, and I just am so jacked for this week to get here. Coaches largely say, you know, they're excited to find out who their team is. You go through fall camp, you have an idea. Hell, a week ago, we were having conversations about Florida State having the best defensive line in the country, and then Georgia Tech dominated the line of scrimmage. I'm curious to ask you this, Josh. Who are you most excited to learn about this weekend? Like, is there one team that you can circle and say, I have an idea, but I can't wait to find out what they have?
Yeah, it's the reason I'm going to the game I'm going to, actually. It's got to be Miami. Miami is, for all intents and purposes, an SEC team physically. I went and watched them practice a couple of weeks ago, and that is, it's not quite to the level depth-wise of what an Alabama or a Georgia looks like, but front-end guys, they look just like Bama and Georgia. So we know how Bama and Georgia play because they do it consistently every year. How does Miami play? I think you stay in that same conference. You could ask the same thing about Clemson. Mm-hmm. I think it's just so fascinating that we had the 24/7 sports guys the other day put out the team talent composite. They do it at the beginning of every year. And I thought it was really eye-opening because it's more of the same. Bama number one, Georgia two, Ohio State three. Those are the most talented rosters to start the season. But Clemson's number five. And yet Clemson is nearly a 2-touchdown underdog to Georgia in Atlanta, And that is a neutral field game, by the way, because as close as Athens is, Clemson isn't much further away from Atlanta. So they'll be well represented there. That's just, that is a glaring perceived gap in those teams. I also think A&M with Mike Elko, I think they're going to be a lot better than folks expect. And they are going up against a Notre Dame offensive line with six returning starts across the entire front. They are going to trot out a true freshman in Kyle Field at night to face what is still a very, very stacked Texas A&M front. And yet A&M's only a 2.5-point favorite because I think Notre Dame could do a lot to slow that Aggie offense down as well. So, I mean, it's week one. I don't know anything about anything. Florida State kind of threw me in a blender.
Yeah, I think threw everybody through a blender to lose outright. One thing to be close on a game. I'm with you on the ramen noodle, too. I love A&M over Notre Dame this weekend. But again, to your point, we don't know who people are yet. We got to figure it out. USC-LSU is a standalone Sunday. And I know you'll be traveling back, but when you watch that, you said yesterday, there's some things that JP Poles got you nervous, right? Like, we don't know who everybody is yet. LSU, USC, what's your read or feel on that one? Because I've gone back and forth. I think I'm going to lean Lincoln keeps it close, but pretty big year for Brian Kelly down at LSU.
Huge year for both. Their careers are intertwined. They both just dumped their defensive staffs. And so there's a lot of correlation here. It is the most unpredictable high-level game of week one. It's the only game where if we got into a debate right now, we had like an hour and I heard everyone's argument, either one of you could convince me either team wins by double digits and I could end up believing you. Because there's one world where it's so academic and LSU doesn't overthink the room and they use that big physical offensive line. They got one of the best in the country. They have a really improved backfield at the tailback position, and they just lean on an undersized, outmanned USC front, and they shorten the game, and it looks a lot like what Michigan did to Penn State last year. There's one world where that happens. There's another world where Lincoln Riley's never had a bad quarterback, and Miller Moss won't be a bad quarterback either. He'll be really good. And there's a world where LSU's secondary is still bad, and USC pops them, and USC's up 10-0 or 14-0 early, and LSU has to play from behind, therefore they can't bleed the clock and run the ball. And they have to ask Garrett Nussmeier, who was a little turnover-prone in fall camp, to put the game on his shoulders and win the game throwing the football, which could lead to more mistakes, and then USC wins by double digits. So I'm glad I don't have to predict the thing until tomorrow night because I still haven't landed. But I had a feel on every other game. I am not kidding you when I say I have no feel on where I'm going to go. I have no feel for the game.
I think that's why it's so exciting on Sunday night. Josh Pate is our guest at Josh Pate CFB on Twitter. Go give him a follow every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, the Josh Pate College Football Show live on YouTube, 5 o'clock Pacific time. You can also check the podcast as well and see him every Saturday morning live from whatever game he is at, which we'll have to get to because he's going to have a tough decision on October 12th. And I'm curious where he's leaning right now. Who's the clubhouse leader, the college football pregame show on CBS Sports HQ. I find myself, Josh, I know you've been talking about it and tweeting about it. The Connor Stallions documentary comes out on Netflix. I'm having a hard time caring. Like, I've just kind of moved on. Season's beginning. I'm ready for this year. A lot of those people are gone. He's out. I know Sharon Moore was a part of that. Should I care more? Should that matter more to me? I have a hard time buying into that being a big deal and the NCAA dropping a hammer on them.
I don't think the documentary was a big deal. I think it was an eye-opener if you wanted to know who Connor Stallions is. There's one piece of information that I had to sit on for a little while, and that is the NCAA did interview Stallions, which it was finally revealed, and he recorded the whole thing. So he was sitting there with a recorded Zoom interview of his interrogation with the NCAA, and it was about 5 hours long. You ended up seeing about 30 seconds of it. So that ended up not being a big deal, but I was very curious about what different layer that could add. Anyone who watched that documentary yesterday, one of the first takeaways was Harbaugh had to know. Yes, you didn't need to watch that documentary to understand Jim Harbaugh probably knew. That's not even what the debate is here. The debate is what can the NCAA prove and what even is their punishment in 2024? Like if a lot of stuff is brought to evidence and brought to light, what's the punishment? Do we really think we live in a world with how valuable these assets are? And I mean that word, assets, that universities and networks are going to allow a bygone enforcement arm like the NCAA to take away bowl trips to impose postseason bans. Like, no one cares if they strip away wins in the past because everyone saw it happen. But you think they're about to let them take scholarships and postseason trips away from one of the most valuable assets in the Big Ten? I don't think there's any world where that happens anymore. I think it's a huge fine because everyone in the Big Ten would love to see Michigan get fined because that means they don't lose money. But if Michigan is taken away from bowl contention and Michigan has scholarships stripped and it devalues them as a television asset, that means a lot of other people lose money, and I just don't think they're going to allow that.
We talked about a Jonathan Smith piece that The Athletic wrote about of him trying to turn Michigan State around. I'm just curious, a lot of hype for Oregon, Michigan being in the news, Ohio State being the favorites, all of that. Penn State maybe with a shot to go to the playoff this year. What are expectations you think in East Lansing? Maybe not year one, even though Aiden Childs is saying take the over. When you think of Jonathan Smith and bringing over the amount of staff that he did, having Aiden Childs as low as they were, what are expectations maybe the first couple years for Jonathan Smith at Michigan State?
Oh, I don't think they'll win anything this year. I've talked to a couple of coaches who either recruited against them or, you know, tried to get guys in the portal against them, and Michigan State didn't even fight too hard. And afterwards, you reach out to Michigan State, and, you know, Jonathan Smith will all but tell you, we're not even going after 1 year, guys, because we're not ready to win right now. We have to rebuild a program. So I think it's going to be that. Now, the trade-off is they may have the most underrated coaching staff in the Big Ten. No one knows them. No one knows anything about them up there from a casual fan perspective. They are very, very good. They will leave no stone unturned. They'll be supremely high level in the eval and development game. That is absolutely what you have to have at Michigan State, by the way. So a year one, when you bring the quarterback over there, I know there could be a moment or two where they wow you, but by and large, that's at least a 2-year rebuild. And then they're a sneaky contender up there, because I do believe Michigan State is the most underrated program from a resource standpoint as well. Michigan State is so much more deep-pocketed than people realize. It's just not realized as much because you're in the shadow of Michigan.
Interesting. I'm curious to ask you, Josh. So we're getting ready to watch Oregon and Washington. A lot of these West Coast teams play their first game. I'm against playing, you know, these Oregon plays Idaho this weekend. And it's just a foregone conclusion. It's basically a scrimmage. So that's the downside. The plus side is you basically get to see everybody on the roster play. And I'm a sicko, so I'm probably going to watch every second of it. If I throw Oregon at you and their biggest question mark, what's the first thing that stands out to you this year?
Competitive depth on the line of scrimmage and length in the secondary. Those are the two things I would look at. Not against Idaho. I mean, prayers for Idaho. But when you start talking about Oregon, let's be real now. You're talking about a national title contender. So, therefore, you're talking about two or three games. You're talking about the Ohio State game, obviously. You're talking about, a trip to Michigan. They go to Wisconsin, too, don't they?
They do, yeah.
Yeah, late in the
season. Yeah. So that's not a roster that matches up with them, but it's a first-time thing, so you never know. And so I think about that Ohio State game. Dylan Gabriel's not a guy with a Sunday arm, custom-made for the college game, and he's going to hang a lot of numbers on most teams he plays. Against that secondary, where everything has to be a little bit quicker, everything has to be a little bit sharper, more finely tuned, how does he match up there? How do they match up? I think that they are built on the line of scrimmage to compete in this league, but I thought they were built to handle Washington. And they didn't. So has a year made that big a difference there? And these are questions, not doubts. These are questions, since you asked me in that context. Those are the two or three biggest things that I'll be ready to see. And I'll tell you this, those are relative. Those are relative questions. Like down in the South, every time I do radio in Atlanta, they ask me, hey, what's the doubt about Georgia? Well, I don't think they have a vintage Georgia defensive front. Well, then that turns into 47 people on message boards saying, hey, he said Georgia's front sucks. No, I didn't. I said it's not. It's a little off from having the best of all time. That's what I'm saying.
Team in college football that you're most nervous is going to make you wrong. Like you have an idea or thought on them, but they come out and they play better than you expect, and you're talking about how much better they are than you thought they would be.
Oh, it'd clearly be Michigan, because I'm not that high on Michigan. And you know, if they are able to find enough at quarterback, if they're able to ease themselves in, and they don't have to, you know, hang 50 because they'll still have a really dominant defense. If they're basically playing Iowa football, but they're just a little bit better at, you know, scoring and stuff, then Michigan does not play a murderer's row of a schedule. They could be right back there again. And you could be looking at yourself, and people could be looking at you saying, wow, the team won a title, and the culture, nothing changed about it, and you doubted them just because some players left? I could see that world. Now, I could also see a world where they're 8-4. That's the world I think we live in. But as you guys know, there have been a couple of times in history I've been wrong, and I'm just hoping this is not the third or fourth time. I think that's all I remember. Two or three times in the past is all I remember. The rest of it's a blank slate.
Well, it's not your fault, man. It's the team's fault. I don't know what they want from you, right? I mean, come on. We're not all experts here. Two-parter to get you out of here, Josh. We love these conversations. Have we made a decision on October 12th yet? Do you want to break any news on the show? And then secondarily, I am a follower on the socials, Josh Pate, CFP or CFB, and excited to see the behind the scenes in Gainesville. So for those who don't follow, what can they expect in the behind the scenes socials this weekend?
All right. So last question first. I always had a fascination when I was growing up with the behind the scenes of everything. Pro wrestling, football, it didn't matter. I wanted to know behind the scenes. And I always swore if I could ever do this job, I would show people as much behind the scenes as I could. Well, I do the job now. So I show people as much behind the scenes as I can. Now, the trade-off is you got to be sneaky about it because you got broadcast rights, deals, and whatnot, and you're technically not supposed to show this and that. But they don't ever check your Instagram story. So over at I'm still Late Kick Josh at the moment on Instagram. Okay. Whatever. We'll make it work. But in that Instagram story throughout the day on Saturday, especially in a building as decrepit as Ben Hill Griffin Stadium, guys, I kid you not, the road locker room there is worse than your mom's broom closet. It's crazy. And so I'll show you as much as I possibly can any given Saturday of like what you're seeing behind the scenes that you would never see on camera. And it's really fun. We have a lot of fun with it. We do Friday Night Lines on Instagram Live too, late Friday nights, which would not be late for you. So that's the second part. The first part, I'm not ready to reveal anything, but I will say this. If we're out there for that Ohio State-Oregon game, and that's a later afternoon game, obviously I'm not getting a flight back to Nashville that night, which means I could see us doing the Sunday show out on the West Coast. So that is just to be kept in the back of one's mind.
Oh.
Hello.
Hello. Okay.
Need studio space on the way to the airport. Hey, I mean, we know some people.
We know some people. You give us a call. Josh Pate, CFB on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Still Late Kick Josh on Instagram. Go give him a follow because it'll be great content behind the scenes, not only this weekend, but every single weekend. And it's fun for me. A lot of stadiums I haven't been to, getting a look at kind of what goes on. He had some great footage the other day of Lane Kiffin talking with his agent on the phone with the whole Saban stuff going on. That was awesome. He's the host of the Josh Pate College Football Show every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, 5 o'clock our time, live on YouTube. Josh Pate College Football Podcast as well. And catch him on the CBS Sports HQ College Football Pregame Show. Always enjoy it. Thank God week one is here. And looking forward to next week, buddy.
I appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
There you go. Josh Pate. Good stuff from him talking college football.
It's nice to talk to him.
It's good. It's going to be fun every single week. It's funny.
It sucks when we don't have any relevant games out here to really hone in on.
Never really have. I mean, USC LSU is one, and we got to that because that's a West Coast school. But everybody else, we got Washington State, Portland State, Washington, Weber State, and our schools play Idaho's.
Yeah, feel the excitement in the air.
Catch the fever.
Will any of those games be within 20? I hope.
You got fire in your gut.
You got a fire in your gut for the Idahos this weekend?
Yeah, USC is my answer to the question I asked him, which team can prove people the most wrong?
Yeah?
Yeah, because I think if their new D coordinator actually, makes their defense respectable, I'm not so much worried about the offense of USC.
Shouldn't be.
I think they'll figure that out with Miller Moss, but if their defense cannot be, what they were the last 2 years, they're an interesting program to maybe not go to the playoff or win the Big Ten, but to be a real thorn and an annoyance in that conference.
Where do you land on that question? I'm interested to see where listeners come in. Vancouver 4 text line 503-864-6326. We'll get the Statter story coming up at 8:15. Some more NFL notes, including hot takes for you in the final hour. What is your hottest take for the upcoming NFL season? It's a loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly!
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.